Amen.
In 1964, Pope Paul VI established World Day of Prayer for Vocations to be celebrated on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is today. As Lutherans, we don't have to do anything with that necessarily, but I do think it's interesting that such a day should be designated to fall on the same day as Good Shepherd Sunday. I don't think that was a coincidence. Somewhere way back before anyone can remember, this Sunday, a few weeks after Easter, was determined to be Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a bit of a turning point in Easter, because up until now we've been hearing the stories about the resurrected Jesus, how he showed himself to the disciples on that first Easter day and after that. Today we go back to the Jesus that everyone knew before all that, before the events of Holy Week, before Good Friday, when Jesus was just another teacher who could inspire and create joy, but who was also scrutinized by powerful forces. When Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, he's saying at least two things. He's saying, I am the shepherd who does the job well, who keeps the sheep safe, who fends off the enemies of the sheep. And he's also saying that there are bad shepherds out there who don't take the job seriously, who use the position of the job as shepherd not to protect, but to champion their own desires. I think this may have been why Pope Paul VI in 1964 sought to lay on top of this Sunday a day of prayer for vocations. I think Pope Paul was trying to say that we ought to give thanks for the jobs we have, but also pray that we do them well, for the sake of not just our own desires, but for the good of all people. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus doesn't exactly use the term good shepherd. That comes in verses 11 and 14. We have to wait until next year for that one. The first thing Jesus says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, who climbs over the wall, is a thief or a bandit. A person I know who works in law enforcement told me that a thief is someone who steals things by stealth, like a pickpocket or a burglar. A bandit is someone who takes things by force, an armed robbery or a mugger on the street. Either way, Jesus is calling out these bad guys who desire to get what they want by taking it from someone else. In ancient Palestine, a sheepfold was a walled area where the shepherd could bring the sheep at night, and then the shepherd would most likely lay down across the entrance so none of the sheep wandered out while he or she slept. Thereby, the shepherd really does become the gate. As Jesus says today, I am the gate for the sheep. Still, thieves and bandits could climb over the wall. It's also significant to know that Jesus is saying these words to the very people he has just accused of remaining in their sins. The Pharisees, who refused to accept that Jesus could open the eyes of the man born blind. That's in chapter 9. And now here in chapter 10, Jesus continues to speak to them. So speaking directly to these Pharisees, Jesus says that they are the ones who are the thieves and bandits. They are the ones who have not entered through the way of the shepherd, but who try to get at the sheep, the people of God, by stealth and manipulation, or force of power and violence. Jesus isn't just saying something nice about himself here. He's accusing the people whose vocation is supposed to be protecting the people of God, of doing a really bad job at it, even abandoning their job for the sake of malevolence or evil. World Day of Prayer for Vocations can probably mean a lot of things. But in today's world, it might mean particularly that we ask God not just to be our good shepherd, but that we, through the careers and the callings that we have been given, might also be good shepherds to others in our world. I had the opportunity to read some scholarship applications this week. The Rotary Club that I'm in gives some scholarship money to grads from both Flathead and Glacier High Schools. And the motto of Rotary is service above self. So the application asked that the graduates write a short essay about what service above self means to them. And let me tell you, we've got some active, generous, compassionate young adults living in our community. Every one of the applicants wrote about how they have already had the opportunity to serve during their childhood and teenage years. They have programs for helping out students new to the school, or they go to the elementary schools and they mentor kids by reading to them and doing math with them. They serve through their worshiping communities and in service clubs for teenagers. And more than a few of them mentioned serving at the Warming Center and the Heart Locker and Samaritan House. And all of them wrote that service, considering the needs of others, even over and above their own needs, is vital to the success of our world. Some of them even noted that we have lost this value to some degree in our society, and that they intend, through their lives and careers, to bring it back. They have a vision of what they want their community to look like. Out of over 25 applications, it was really hard to choose only 6 as my top contenders. In the book of Acts, we get a vision of what the very early church looked like as those first disciples began to live with the scope and teachings of Jesus. They had the same sort of outlook as these scholarship applicants. And of what Jesus desired when he sought to criticize the work of the Pharisees and hold up a different way of shepherding. In Acts chapter 2 that we also read today, it says that all who believed were together and had all things in common. That doesn't just mean that they held the same views or they voted in the same way, because it goes on to say that they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, any who had any need. And then in verse 47, it says that they had the goodwill of all the people. And I point that out because the passage refers to their own community as believers, led by the apostles. But here it references the goodwill of the people, not just those inside their own circle, but all people. From the very beginning, the church sought to ensure that its highest value is that of gathering for the sake of serving. They called themselves believers not because that they had a whole set of rules and doctrines and traditions that they forced each other to accept, but because they believed in one thing, that Jesus is alive and that we are his people doing what he did until he gets back. Jesus saw himself and his role as one thing, and he taught his disciples to be and do that one thing: love one another. Love one another in your actions and in all that you do.
The job of the shepherd is to love the sheep, to love them enough to lead them into the shelter at night and lay down at the gate so that they stay safe. Now, none of us here are shepherds, I don't think. So what's your job? What's your vocation? How can we pray for you in your vocation that you might be as honest and faithful and true to not just your customers, not just your stockholders, not just your constituents, but to all people, as the Good Shepherd is to the sheep? Our high school graduates have hopes for their world. They have ideals that they want to enact in their lives. They want to be the kind of people that live not just for themselves, but for the sake of others. I believe lots of us share that hope. We have heard Jesus' way of the Good Shepherd. We have seen him put that way of love into practice, and we have taken up the call to do the same in our lives. But there's a world out there filled with modern-day Pharisees who have abandoned their call to be the shepherd of the sheep, to serve others above self, to grant liberty and justice for all, to sell their possessions and distribute the proceeds to all as any have need. But it's also true that each of us is part of that world too. Perhaps graduates are idealists who have yet to know what it's like to make their own way in the world. Maybe the early Christians were naive to form what looks to be kind of like a socialistic society. And maybe the church is foolish to believe that there is a good shepherd who leads us beside still waters through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'll keep on praying for the vocations of our world, for the people who still do the work of the Good Shepherd, for those who serve and protect, for those who share love and goodwill through the goods that they make and sell, for those who advocate for the voice of all who have been told that they matter less or not at all. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus has died for us and raised and is raised to give us new and abundant life. And the goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives is what we are called to share with the world, all the world. Our vocation is to be good shepherds in a world of shepherds who are not. Pope Paul was onto something good when he called the world to pray for vocations. The Pope may be Catholic, but I'm in.